B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're reporting that this breakup was actually years in the making. So what ignited that process? How did it begin?
Well, I think that it goes back to the fall of 2017, and that's that Tom Brady wanted a contract extension, and he wanted a contract extension from the New England Patriots that would guarantee that he played until his mid-40s and achieved his goal. And the Patriots just weren't willing to do that. They wanted to go year to year, which makes sense. I mean, he is in his 40s, but that was always going to be the tension. You had a quarterback who wanted to play in his mid-40s, and you had a head coach whose genius was always knowing when it was the right time to move on from a player. He kept Brady, you know, until age 42, Bill Belichick did, longer than many expected, certainly longer than many close to Tom Brady expected. But at the end of the day, that was always the rub, those two forces colliding.
So there's Seth Wickersham, WESPN.
WNBC.
Jesus. Seth Wickersham, ESPN. Finally collecting. It took a year or two longer than he thought, but finally collecting on his terrific story in January of 2018, detailing the palace intrigue, i.e. the palace coup. And we know it's palace coup, but we call it the Q because of one of our callers, Matthew in Framingham, called the palace Q. So if all the emailers say it's coup.
Can you correct Felger and tell him it's coup?
So it's great. We still have all these new listeners who don't get the inside joke, but we call it the palace Q. So that comes home to roost 2 years later, I think. Was it the palace Q? Was it the personality conflict, or was it simply the contract? Because Wickersham just yesterday, saying it came down to the contract. So what about all the other stuff? And how do we square those two away? Which leads to Maz's Rodenheiser take to lead off this hour.
Yep, hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. So when I was reading the Wickersham thing, here is what sort of popped into my head. This all happened after they won the fifth Super Bowl. That after they beat Atlanta, that all of a sudden all doubt was removed. They were the greatest dynasty ever. They were better than the Niners, although San Francisco also won 5 during that span. But they went to 8 Super Bowls, all of that. And that next season, 2017, is a lot of when the Palace Q stuff started. So I do look at it and say Brady became the first to win 5. Belichick won his 5th. Like, they sort of blew everything out of the water with that Super Bowl. And I start to wonder if the source of it was that in the mind of Brady, like, well, I don't know that I have all that much to play for here anymore. And that's really that year. That Philly year, culminating with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, that's when a lot of the Palace Q stuff started.
So I think both are true. In other words, I think the contract is number one on the list, is what he wanted. He wanted the contract, and if they'd given him a contract at any point in these intervening years, he would have put up with all the crap that he hated. But make no mistake, he hated this crap, and he grew to hate this crap, and he grew to, you know, I don't want to hate with Belichick is a strong word, but the personality conflict between Belichick and Brady, real. Real on Brady's side anyway. And let me put it to you like this. I think it was the personality conflict, it was the cue that prevented Brady from taking another hometown discount. He would have come back if Belichick got on his knees and given him a good offer.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Okay, but the days of him taking less and giving in to Bill and the team were over because he grew to hate conditions here. And for all of you who pitched a fit and cried and pissed and moaned and called fake news to all of that stuff, you were wrong. It's all real. And you know how I know that? I know it because I'm looking at Big Jim Murray right now and he's wearing a number 12 Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey. Because Tom Brady went to the effing Buccaneers, the losingest franchise in all of sports. And he did that because he was done with Bill's crap. The palace Q is real.
Yeah, and part of, you know, a lot of that, I think him going there had to do with spite because he was sick of that. It was really after that. I think it did start where you believe it started, Maz, but it really started to fester post-Super Bowl loss to the Eagles where he has that ridiculous game, and then that next contract that they put in front of him is all incentive-laden after he won the MVP. Oh, God, like that must have broke his brain.
I mean, really, again, think about all the fallout from that game. And the Malcolm Butler decision only hurt Bill's case. So Amendola flipped out right after that. Brady started to get agitated. Gronk started to get agitated. All the posts on Instagram. That was the same spring, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, that they tried to trade Gronk, right?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
So I just think that the Malcolm Butler thing sort of bubbled it over. But once and I do think it's tied to after winning that fifth, that all of a sudden some of the focus shifted to Bill and the way it was. They're like, okay, when can we let up? And then Butler happened in the Super Bowl, and it really blew up in Bill's face.
Okay, so the Wickersham story from the weekend is really, there's not much meat on the bone. I got to tell you, he's got a few little insights. But if you want the real backstory and what happened between Bill and Brady and Bill and Kraft, read the original. Read the original. January 4th, 2018. It's still online. Just Google it and read it.
That's the one that's catty. I feel like I didn't really learn anything new from reading this over the weekend.
Well, there is nothing new.
Yeah.
I mean, and this isn't to brag on Wickersham. I don't think he was working the story anymore. I think what happened is 2 years later, they finally divorced and Wickersham followed up.
Yeah.
But he wasn't working the story. He wasn't working sources because there's really very little new in this. The one 2 years ago is an epic, and it just details all the stuff with Guerrero and Brady and the contracts and Kraft and the Garoppolo trade, and it's fabulous.
Getting Hogan hurt in that Chargers game, like it's just like fangs are out.
Bill throwing Brady under the bus left, right, and center in that story. And so maybe this is Brady's, this is Brady's answer. But the follow-up story this weekend did have a little bit. I just want to read to you a little bit of it. Because, Wickersham says, the question has consumed us. Why? What did Brady need that Belichick and Kraft failed to deliver? Was it an extension? Was it joy? Were the relationships that were strained the past few years broken beyond repair? Wickersham says, nobody knows what motivates great athletes. It's as mysterious and unique as their own DNA. But in interviews with people close to Brady, team and league executives, coaches, and owners involved in the Brady sweepstakes, it's clear that there's a feeling that he is chasing and has been chasing for years. And this is Brady, not just to prove the Patriots wrong, but to find, rediscover an essential version of himself. The heart of the problem between Brady and Belichick in late 2017 was the same as it was in March of 2020. Brady wanted a contract extension. Brady made it clear that he was playing football until his mid-40s. He preferred to sign a deal to ensure that he remained a Patriot. But if the team refused, he was fine moving on. He wanted clarity. And Wickersham talks about this meeting with Belichick in 2017 to discuss this, in which a blow-up ensued. It was a blow-up. Then after the Pats lost to the Eagles, as Maz said, Brady was deeply dissatisfied. The offense put up 613 yards with no punts. When Belichick addressed the team upon its return to Foxborough, Brady mostly stared straight down, barely glancing up at his coach. Brady told people in the building then he wasn't coming back. Needing distance, he detached from the team that spring. He left passive-aggressive comments on social media. This is all the stuff Maz was just talking about. He pleaded the fifth when Jim Gray asked him, does he feel disrespected by the team or appreciated by the team? Brady looked lost at the end of his Facebook docuseries, Tom vs. Time, saying of his passion, what are we doing this for? ESPN's Ian O'Connor, in his book, Belichick, reported that Brady wanted a divorce from his coach. And Brady made it clear to author Mark Leibovich in his book, Big Game, that he was fed up with Belichick's culture. Which is to say that he was fed up with Belichick. When asked in Leibovich's book how he would feel if the Patriots released him, Brady was blunt. They can do whatever they want, he said. Brady wasn't just looking to win Super Bowls, victory at all costs, the ethos of most of his career. He wanted what everyone wants from an employer, to feel valued and to love work. They seemed like two reasonable asks until Brady realized that in New England under Belichick, that might be asking the impossible. So I buy all that, Maz. I still think if they'd given the contract, he would have stayed and put up with it.
Well, so do I, except that, as you read that, and this didn't occur to me, if Brady was, and when I read that, that section of the story is really the most noteworthy section of the story. The rest of it, as you said, is really just a rehash. But in that part, if Brady was going around and telling people in the organization, I'm out of here. I'm out. When this is all over, I'm out of here. I wonder if that at all factored into all these defections? Mike, that's when the defections started.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the coaches leaving and everything else, that's when there was this major turnover on the coaching staff. And we said, wow, why is all this happening? Maybe people understood at that stage that things with Tom and Bill were not good.
Well, he continues. We listened as those close to Brady insisted he would be the first to go. Tom Sr. once told me that once Belichick found a quarterback who is better for a dollar less, Tom will be gone. Brady Sr. also told Leibovich, it will end badly. Wickersham wrote again just on Sunday, some close to Brady actually looked forward to that day in a weird way, believing that the team would collapse without him, without the human backstop who bailed out everyone's mistakes. How about that? That Brady's camp is actually rooting for this and now rooting for them to fall on their face because they think Brady's the one that propped up Belichick.
Oh, you can't be surprised by that.
Of course not. Of course not.
All the sword rattling. I mean, I do believe Tom, you know, was frustrated and he was chasing appreciation and happiness. He knew he was never going to get it from Bill. But if they came with a deal, I think he would have been convinced to come back. Everyone around him, whether it's Alex, the wife, the dad.
Oh, yeah. They were telling him to get out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. F him. Let him fall on his face.
Wickersham said the Antonio Brown thing even, you know, put Brady in a worse place. After the Antonio Brown thing blew up, after they released him, Wickersham writes, speaking for Brady, this wasn't fun, and Brady didn't feel appreciated. In the words of a Brady confidant, quote, he was like, why am I doing this? The Patriots' defense was winning games, but the offense was stagnant. Brady told friends that he felt Belichick had taken the offense for granted because of how good it had been for so long. I feel like I'm listening to a Gasper stint here.
Yeah, right.
On a Friday, it's like... It's all, I mean, not hard to figure out where Gasper got his stuff from. Brady told NBC that famous quote that he was the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the NFL. Honestly, it was just a continuation of everything that was written in January of 2018. The Palace Q continued, and the only thing that kept it was the fact that they won at such a high level. They went to Super Bowls. They went 12-4, and this was all on the table. It would have ended so much sooner, but they kept freaking winning, Mass.
Well, so, and really, the one huge variable was 2018, right? That things didn't go right for them that year. They kind of had to grind their way all year long, and then all of a sudden, they caught a break at the end of the year, and they ended up with a bye, and then they won it. And Brady came through for them when they needed him to. The passing game did in Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. So, but I sort of look at that one like I look at that year now and I say more than ever, oh boy, what a gift. What a gift that was. They went 11-5 and they ended up with a bye. They really did not have a great passing game that year. The defense started playing better at the end of the year and they ran the ball and they were able to puff out their chest against some doormats. But the problems were there. I just feel like the last one was a little lucky. That's all. It was a little lucky, but it really ended up putting off the problems for another year.
It's okay to say it was a little lucky. 11-5 usually isn't worth a bye. You got it. You won the coin flip against Kansas City, and I don't want to hear how you would have won that game if you did not win the coin flip. How does Patrick Mahomes play at the end of these playoff games when he gets on a roll? Has anyone stopped him?
No.
Did Houston stop him? Did San Francisco stop him? Does anyone stop Pat Mahomes when he gets going in the second half of these ball games?
Even before the overtime, if D Ford's not offsides, they lose that game.
Okay, so it's okay to right. D Ford lines up a hand width offsides. They lose the coin flip. Like, come on, you caught a break with that last title. I mean, and that's okay too. That's okay. There was one last thing that I just thought Wickersham, you know, gave some insight. So after the Super Bowl and Brady now is sort of hitting in free agency and reaching out to teams, Wickersham writes, to many of the executives who did due diligence, Brady seemed so driven by an animus towards Belichick that they couldn't tell if he actually wanted a fresh start or if he just needed leverage to force Kraft to step in. So that, you know, Brady was driven by an animus towards Bill Belichick. This is all a long way of saying the Palace Q was real and Brady's animus, hatred, animosity towards Bill Belichick was very real. And why did he not take less to stay one final time? Because he hated Belichick. That's what happened. How do you feel about that? What's your reaction to that? We'll get to you right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Filger and Mads.
I love it.
You were right, Mads.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Do you have any sort of feel for how much longer they're going to be together?
I don't. I mean, I think that people in the building think this thing might be coming to an end. And, you know, even if nobody has said it declaratively, it's a feeling in the building that, like, you know, look, these guys have been together for a long time. I mean, it really is remarkable in a way that it, you know, that this hasn't happened earlier. You know, it's been what they've done is unprecedented. And when you look at other dynasties, this usually cracks much earlier. And I think that people in the building feel that Belichick has done an amazing job this year of holding the building together, because the people who know people in the building, and I'm not the only one, I mean, there's a lot of good reporters in Boston who have been saying the same thing, have been saying that, like, this has been bad all year.
That was Seth Wickersham. On January 5th, 2018, the day after his story published with TNR, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, it was over then. It was just Brady was under contract and they kept winning. But it was really just a continuation of everything that led up to all that animus in 2017. All of it. The drafting of Garoppolo, the not extending Tom Brady, that's still number one on the list for me. All the back and forth with Guerrero. Go back and read the original story. And get to all that back and forth with Guerrero. It's unbelievable, the back and forth there. So it took a while, but the Palace Q comes home to roost. And now Brian Hoyer might be your starting quarterback. What are your thoughts? Back to you, as promised. Tony in Florida. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes. Hi, guys. Basically, this is typical Bill, and I think he's got a plan. Basically, he brings in Hoyer just to give them a quarterback that can start. He's going to put his best effort in. He's just going to try and get through this season. That's why he's picking up all these defensive fill-in players.
Tony.
And what he's going to do is he's going to take these players and he's going to sell them or trade them off either during the year or after the season. And he's going to try and get a quarterback in next year's draft.
Okay.
I don't see him.
Okay,
paying.
So Tony, I'm going to just stop you. If you think this is Bill's master plan, then the master plan is to take who's ever there on May 1st because he thinks he can win with anyone. We'll pick this up in a second. First, breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now the overhaul for the Patriots continues as Jim McBride of the Boston Globe is first with the news that the Patriots are releasing kicker Steven Gostkowski. According to a league source, the three-time Super Bowl champion is the franchise's all-time leading scorer, but Steven Gostkowski no longer a New England Patriot.
Maz, your reaction?
Well, look, I'm a little surprised. I'm not completely shocked because of the injury during last season. So it tells me there's something going on there with Gostkowski that they didn't like. And they said, you know what, we're completely pulling the plug on this one, too. In reality, it should have happened earlier. But, I mean, when I saw it come across Twitter here, I was a little surprised. Absolutely.
So it's really the contract, isn't it?
Contract, age, groin injury, now's the time.
I mean, if he were a minimum salary guy, I mean, they'd bring him into camp. The point is he makes $3.5 million. Cap hit of 4.8. They're still going to carry about $1.5 million in dead money on him, which isn't great for a freaking kicker, but they've been overpaying him for a couple years. So you won't have Steven Gostkowski to kick around anymore, Maz.
Well, so again, I told you this last year that once they started going around that merry-go-round, I thought, oh boy, here we go. And then Nick Folk came in and did a pretty good job for him. So I should know this, and I don't. But is Folk still under contract? Do they still have
him? No,
I don't know.
He was a free agent, actually.
So, but, I mean, talk about just take what's there on May 1st. Shouldn't you be able to kind of do that at that position?
Just draft one.
Yeah, so look, again, at kicker, yes. I mean, especially now, look, Gostkowski was had a tremendous run for them. But once you lose that kind of guy, you want to play musical chairs, play it at kicker. But to go back to the previous caller, Bill's got a plan. His plan was Brian Hoyer. Like, so again, this is why being Bill Belichick is the best thing you could ever hope for if you get reincarnated. Because even when you're quote-unquote plan is to get Brian Hoyer, everybody talks about you like you're some kind of genius. There's no way that landing with Brian Hoyer was his plan. No way. That's where he is now. But there's no way I can believe that Brian Hoyer was Belichick's plan.
I think the plan was roughly we're going to have Brady cave. He'll come crawling back like he usually does. And if he doesn't, I'll win with someone else. And now we're in that someone else, you know, part of the plan. But he is not moving the pieces on the chessboard. You can't tell me that you're moving pieces on the chessboard when Brian Hoyer is going to compete for your starting quarterback position. Give me a break. As much as I think they'll be fine with them. Fine. Not great, but fine. Am I nuts to think that? Rick and Merrimack. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi. Hi, guys. Mike, I agree with you so many times, but I think you're crazy to think we're going to win a division with Hoyer or Stidham, and in combination with the current state of the team, we've lost so many players on offense, defense, coaches. Pat's management, a.k.a. Belichick, picked Hoyer because they determined they need to go through a complete rebuilding process, and that is going to take 2 to 3 years minimum, especially because of Belichick's percent drafting success.
Now, what if he gets on a hot streak, Rick?
What's that?
What if he gets on a hot streak? He goes hot and cold at the draft like everybody else.
Yeah, well, maybe I hope he does. But in the meantime, I'm going to root for the Pats, but I just bought my Tampa Bay shirt and my hat, and Palace Q to me means Palace Quasi.
Okay. They do have to retool the roster. There's no doubt about it. They have to get younger, and they've got to evolve several spots on the roster. And now kicker's the most latest one. In case you just missed it, Steven Gostkowski's been released by the Patriots. That broke in the last 10 minutes or so. So, yeah, of course they need to evolve. But I do not think, Maz, that 4-12 is in the plan. Talk about the master plan. That's not in the master plan.
No. Look, 4-12 is, you know, you go 4-12, you're picking in the top five in the draft. I don't think they're going to be that bad. I have too much respect for Belichick for that. And I have too much respect for some of the veteran players on the team, particularly on the defense, that will, you know, prevent that from happening. So I don't see 4-12, but Mike, 7-9 would not shock me. Not shock me in the least bit.
Jake in Boston. Go ahead, Jake.
Listen, on Stidham, I called you on January 24th and mentioned that Stidham's been Bill's guy all along, and the reporting's proved me right. He was cozy. Him and his wife have been cozy with the Belichicks since the end of last season. I don't care what Florio says. Hoyer's family was sitting up in the upper deck at Gillette Stadium, and Jared Stidham's wife is in Bill's suite for the playoff game. The blogs, the Instagram stories, the wives, these clicks matter. And David Andrews.
So, Jake, I'm just going to cut you off before you get too worked up.
Gasket.
I do want to mention that thing, though, he brought up. And you even heard it in the Devin McCourty cut we played in the 2 o'clock hour, where Devin McCourty said the Stidhams are going to be here for a long time. There is a connection there with Stidham's wife and Linda Holiday's crew, right?
Yeah, and also with Stephen Belichick's wife.
Oh, I'm sorry. So that's what it is.
That's
it was Stephen Belichick. It was,
I think, one of the daughters maybe hangs with them, but it's Stephen Belichick's wife that she's close with.
There's some sort of friendship there, connection there with Stidham's wife and the Belichick crew, if you will. So I thought it was Linda Holiday's kids, but maybe it's Stephen Belichick's wife, whoever, that she was in that box and blah, blah, blah. And so when McCourty says the Stidhams are going to be here for a long time, I think that's sort of what he's referring to, that Stidham's in. He's in like the whole thing. He's in the Belichick milieu. And so maybe so. And Hoyer then is that perfect kind of signing because he's not going to, you know, rock the boat if he doesn't win the starting job. He's been promised a chance to compete, but that's it. He makes no money, only $2 million, and the Pats are just paying half of it because the Colts are on the hook for the other half. And so he's a perfect sort of stopgap. But I'll say it again. I bet you he works with the ones. Week one of training camp, whenever that is, Brian Hoyer's with the ones. They're going to make Stidham earn it, and they should. And Hoyer's just that perfect guy there that's not going to get delusions of grandeur. When he's working with the ones in week one, he's going to know the score. And if Stidham blows, I bet you Hoyer can just steer the ship enough to win enough games to compete for that division, if not win it. I got them winning the division with Brian Hoyer. So we continue with your thoughts. And the Palace Q comes home to roost. We'll get back to that after Murray's update. Again, breaking Patriots news. A big release happened in the last 10 minutes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is Belichick's main problem with the TB12 thing? Does he believe that it doesn't work, or is it just it kind of undermines his power?
Well, I think it's complicated, and, you know, this has been going for a long time. I think at the end of the day, they don't trust him.
Right.
And I think that he blames Patriots trainers for injuries, even when they occur to TB12 clients. And I think that, you know, in September, Belichick wrote an email that was very professional and polite to Alex in drawing clear lines about where he can be in the building. And, you know, Alex reached out to Patriot players saying, like, I'm not allowed in the building, or you have to come see me at the TB12 training center now. And a lot of players interpreted what he said. Now, he says he didn't say this, but a lot of players interpreted it as, Bill says we can't come see you. Bill says that you can't come see me anymore. And again, they looked at that as dividing the building.
All right.
You know, Alex trying to divide the building.
Again, more from Wickersham back in 2018. And I think the Guerrero thing at the end was less of a factor, but meaning it wasn't in the forefront. I guess they'd come to terms with, you know, like a new arrangement. But I think all those seeds that were sowed back then, 2016, 2017, that time frame where first Guerrero was in the building and had an office and had access to Patriots records and then started bad-mouthing Patriots trainers to players and Bill kicking him out. And, you know, Bill kicked him out right when Brady's book was being released and they were just ramping up the TB12 business. Brady took that personally. Like, that caused a huge, huge rift, and I don't think they ever fully got over it. I think they learned to coexist with it and, you know, came up with some compromises, which they hadn't for a little bit. I think they reached some compromises. But at the end, the foundation was still cracked. And when the contract wasn't there, Brady wasn't willing to work with them. And he said, F you. And I think the F you took a couple years longer than maybe Wickersham thought, but it came.
And it was only a little bit of a give. It's not like Alex was still allowed on the sideline. He's still, again, they had to, like, you know, go put him in a separate little office there. Like, he was still treated like a second-class citizen. And to Brady, that's his right-hand man in terms of his, you know, his business interests. So I can understand why he got pissed off about that.
So, and I think the little shots have just continued. And I think they've continued through the media. And even in a statement Belichick released last week when Tom Brady, you know, left. And I don't bother reading statements. I should.
It's
but I'm just
boilerplate nonsense.
I'm so used to the bull crap that I should have read the statements and I didn't, but Tom Curran pointed out something, Maz, that caught your eye.
Yeah, so it was Curran wrote about it over the weekend, and it did. It caught my eye at the time, and I'm glad he expanded on it. But I'm trying to find the exact comment here now as I'm sifting through my notes.
So I have it. Curran focused on this line in Brady's statement last week, and this was at the end of, or, you know, in the middle of Belichick's, you know, flowery, beautiful statement to Brady on his way out the door, where Belichick wrote, quote, "Nothing about the end of Tom's Patriots career changes how unfathomably spectacular it was." But I mean, how just that line, "Nothing about the end of Tom's career changes how spectacular it was." How about that, Maz?
Right, so I went back and I had to read it again because he did say Patriots career. And when I read it the first time, when he initially put out the statement, I said, is Belichick saying that Brady's cooked? And then I saw that he said Patriots career, but even so, what the hell is he talking about there? What does he mean? And I took it as, well, Tom hasn't played the same way the last couple of years, in case you haven't noticed. That's how I read it. And I thought, ooh, that's just a little subtle little dig that, and I don't know, maybe Belichick meant it another way, but given how careful he is and how detail-oriented he is, to me it was a shot at Brady on the way out the door. And again, I use this analogy for you, that, and this goes back a long way. A lot of people won't even remember it, Mike. But when the Red Sox let go of Clemens, they issued a release that described him as being quote unquote, in the twilight of his career, as if to say he's done and he's not going to be anything after he leaves here anyway. And I felt that this was something similar to that.
Maz, there's no doubt this is a shot. And I'm surprised it made this statement. I'm surprised it wasn't edited out by someone somewhere. And obviously Bill wanted it in there. But I'm surprised someone didn't get to him and say, Bill, do we really want to do this? Because nothing about the end of Tom's Patriots career changes how spectacular it was. So what do you mean nothing about the end of Tom? So
you don't have to read into it much. It's overall it was great. But at the end, so much.
Oh, my God. And I agree with it totally. I mean, I think even in the Super Bowl year, I think the skipping the off season and the throwing the teammates under the bus tacitly and untacitly and, you know, I think some of his demeanor and the way he carried himself and the moping around after wins, it was a bad look sort of off the field. His play tapered a little bit on the field, but I think it was more of an off-field thing. My problem with the end of Brady's Patriots career was the way he carried himself off of it. And not that it was like the worst thing I've ever seen, but it was a little bit beneath him to blow off the off seasons, not put in the work in the spring.
He half-assed it.
Not be supportive of his teammates when things went wrong, to mope after wins. Like, that whole thing, I think, is easily the thing I like the least. His physical tail off? Well, what the hell? He's 42. Like, yeah. I can totally accept that.
Oh, it's cheap. It's cheap to bring it up and word it like that after what he's given to the franchise and the city and the region for all that Tom Brady has done. It's like, yeah, you know, we have a lot of respect for Tom as he goes out. I mean, you know, it wasn't everything all that great at the end, but we should you're such a weaselly way to say it.
Let me tell you what, Maz, they've been going back and forth. So I don't totally blame. I mean, I'm surprised it made the statement. It probably shouldn't be in the statement. I think it's true. I think the end of Brady's Patriots career deserves mention for it going the wrong way in some respects. So I'm okay with that. And also, Maz, you've got to admit, Brady's camp has been dumping on Bill all offseason. I mean, how many times have we heard from these guys about if Bill would just be nice, if Bill would just have a normal conversation, if Bill would just treat him like an equal, if Bill would just show him some respect, if Bill could just show him some love. For crying out loud, the owner saying it's like you love this woman, but you can't be with her because of another family member. It's like, how much crap has Bill taken from the Brady side of this throughout this whole offseason? I don't mind him punching back just a little bit.
Okay, so look, I don't like it coming out of the Brady side either. And I'm not telling you that I live in fairyland here, where all of a sudden I think that everything is a fairy tale at the end and that it's all perfect. But has there ever been a pro football player who has given more to a franchise and an organization than Tom Brady has given the Patriots? Can they just let him go out the door without the subtle little digs and jabs? Can they do that? And the only reason I focus on them, Mike, is because they're still here. This is still ongoing. When Belichick leaves, if that breakup is bad at the end, I'll feel the same way if the Crafts are leaking out little sleazy comments on his way out the door. I won't like it any better.
Okay, I think it's happening on both sides, but you're right. It's more on becoming of the team. We continue with your thoughts on all of this. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Do you feel appreciated by them, and do they have the appropriate gratitude for what you have achieved?
I plead the fifth.
All the signs were there. What's the summer of 2018?
That's April 30th, 2018.
Okay, the spring of 2018. All the stuff in Wickersham's story was, I think, right. I mean, not that he got every detail perfect. Probably missed some details in there. and there's, I'm sure, some sources maybe spun him wrong, but all that animus, all that animosity, all that angst that had developed between Brady and Belichick came home to roost. It came home to roost. I still think he would have stayed with the proper contract, but that doesn't mean he was happy here. And I think that the unhappiness here led to him not willing to give him a discount on the contract.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, all things being equal, I think if it was a good relationship, he would have come back and taken the cheese, their crappy one-year offer. He would have gone year to year. But he was done going year to year because he had built up too much resentment towards Bill Belichick.
Think of how Paul, to hear that now and how this has all played out, now that Tom Brady is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, to hear that sound now from April 30th, 2018, you feel appreciated. I plead the fifth. Think of how polished that Tom Brady is in every aspect of his off-field life and how he's basically become an automaton and will give you just the corporate answer. And for him to say that, wow, like he's real pissed. I plead the fifth. Like Tom Brady in every other aspect, corporate Tom Brady be like, no, everything's fine. Like, no, the media is making too much out of it. No, he wanted to let the world know I'm not appreciated. It's all, I'm so mad I have to bite my lip and plead the fifth because I'm sick of getting effed by Bill.
And the first chance to get out, he gets out, and he only has one option. It's about the worst option in the league, and he takes it. And he takes it, Maz.
Oh, and Murray is so right, though. Like, can you imagine Brady saying that in a public setting 10 years ago? Never in a million years would he say that. He would have said something like, oh, well, you know, I have a great organization, and, you know, we all have our challenges at work, and but, you know, Coach Belichick's the best there. He would have handled it that way. He would have deflected it and totally moved on. Instead, like, I plead the fifth. Yeah, you're right. I just don't want to air them out because they suck. And then after all of that, he goes and plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And reading that Wickersham story, you mentioned this earlier, Mike. I keep saying over and over, they have the worst winning percentage, Tampa Bay does, of all the franchises in the NFL.
It's in sports.
Of all the franchises in sports.
Yep.
Sports, all of sports, the four major sports, all major team sports, Tampa Bay is the lowest winning percentage. They are the epitome of suckitude.
That's how badly Brady wanted to stick it to Bill. That's how badly he didn't want to take the cheese and come back. Think of that. All right, your thoughts, as promised, Jacob in Dorchester. Go, Jacob.
Yes, I think it started when his mother's two shirts got stolen.
His mother's two shirts?
Yeah, when he tried to keep the shirts for his mom and the guy stole his shirts.
Okay, I don't think that was it. I think you're confusing it. It was a game-worn jersey. Was that for his mom? I'm just going to let that go because I don't think that's a germane comment. Tim and Quincy, go ahead, Tim.
Felger, there's zero chance of the Patriots winning the division. One of the reasons Brady isn't coming back and would have come back, there's no offense here. There's no one to throw the ball to. Sanu's got ankle surgery. There's okay. No tight end.
There was no tight end last year, Tim. They went 12-4. So you're telling me the schedule's harder this year? It is. Defense took a step back, maybe. So is that 10? Is that 9? Is that 8? So the reason I want my prediction to be winning the division versus a win total, because I don't, like, if Brian Hoyer's a quarterback, I have a hard time saying 10 wins. Like, I'm not officially not saying that. I'm just like, that I would hesitate. But I feel like you can win the division 8-8 because I have no faith in the rest of the division. I have no faith in the rest of the division.
You're underselling the Buffalo Bills. Now, the quarterback's a liability, but the rest of that team and the coach are good.
So I feel better saying they're going to win the division versus the win total. But if you want it, you know, 9 wins with the...
No, it's more fun if you middle it. Just say the division.
They're going to win the division. Billy in Rhode Island, what do you think?
Here's what I think. You know, this has been going on for a long time with Brady. We all know that, and I've been listening to you guys. But here's the thing. It works both ways. I mean, the coach put a game plan together every week that helped them win. There's no doubt about that. But they had the best quarterback ever. I mean, that's a fact. So any other team, like any other team that had a quarterback that good, obviously would bend over to give him the best deal possible. But he went through a lot of bull because they didn't want to extend his contract at the end. He already had a lot of bull before that, but I think that was the icing on the cake. He just said, hell with this, I am done. I really believe that. Now, if they gave him the money, is the crazy part of it. If they gave him the money and the extension, he would have came back.
Agreed, Billy. He would have, because at the end of the day, he wants to cave. It's just in his nature. He doesn't want to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. But he wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to subjugate himself anymore. It was going to have to be on his terms or closer to his terms than he was in the past. And that's where the palace cue comes in. Where if he was willing to work with them in the past, he wasn't willing to work with them this time. It would have to be a real contract. Here's Jim and Everett with a thought. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. I got a quick question. You think the Patriots should sign anybody from the XFL? Because today XFL players can sign
sure.
an NFL team.
Sure. I'm sure they're gonna have a ton of XFL guys here covering punts come the summer. So yes, they will.
That's just up Bill's alley.
They're cheap. I frankly don't care. So I don't mean to dump on your phone call, but yeah, bring in all those guys. Fine with
me. I'm sure he'll be checking the rugby leagues.
That too. Paul and Blackstone, go.
Hey, guys, real quick. So, Mike, in the spirit of what you said at the start of the show about trying to get sporty, I think it's perfect that, you know, we're flooding the call-ins to talk about Brian freaking Hoyer. Listen, guys, I've had just about enough of y'all dumping on the Buccaneers, though, right? So Foxborough, New England, was the armpit of the NFL before Bill Parcells got here. And until Bill Parcells came here, we were one of the laughingstocks, right? So Brady's a student of the game. He's been here in this team for 20 years. He understands that, you know, all teams suck right up until they don't. Right. So Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are probably the best 1-2 punch of receiver in the NFL now that the Vikings sent Diggs over to Buffalo. So he's got to be looking at it from a perspective of the fact that, you know, every team sucks until they don't. And he's set himself up in a position where he's got weapons around him to succeed. And if the Patriots were one of their inability or their lack thereof of being able to bring guys in or keep guys around that Brady wants to throw to, then that feels like it checks a really high box on his priority list about needing guys around him that he wants to play with.
Okay,
and
so
start with the cracks on the Bucs.
Why? Because, well, no, but Paul, I agree with most of what you said, but the Bucs are what they are. If they become something else and Brady turns them into what the Patriots became, then fine. My commentary will reflect that. But right now, they're one of the worst brands in all of sports, just like you were prior to 1994. Fine. And if Brady turns them into what you are now, then I won't say that anymore. But right now, the Buccaneers are a joke. They are.
And the other thing is, the other part that he misses, the point that he misses is, did Brady have better options? Like, that's the part of it that to me has to be emphasized too, is you look at it and you say, okay, fine, Tom Brady's leaving the Patriots. Where's he going? Is he going to L.A. because they're opening a new stadium? Is he going to Vegas because Gruden's there and wants to coach him? Is he going to Tennessee because Vrabel needs a quarterback and they were in the AFC championship game? Nobody said Tampa Bay was Brady's plan. Nobody, because it wasn't. And so Brady picking Tampa Bay really indicates how spiteful he was and how low he was willing to go in order to stick it to the Patriots or to prove his point, whatever it was. And I told you, I feel the same way in some ways about Belichick with Hoyer. Don't tell me that Brian Hoyer was the plan, because if it was, the plan sucks.
But I think you're right. Brady is in Tampa out of spite. And you know who agrees with us? Who maybe has had the best commentary in this entire thing? Just about the last person I would ever expect to say something interesting and coherent. That's my guy, Terry Bradshaw. I don't think this was on a cell phone. This was in a written article, but Terry Bradshaw, I think, nailed it. I'll tell you what he said. And the stuff coming out of Tampa this weekend. Brady arrives in Tampa, and the story's being written and the hype video's being put out. How does that sit with you? How'd that feel watching and reading that stuff over the weekend? We'll get to both those things after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials, and there is breaking news on the Patriots at this hour. A major personnel move, a release, has transpired. Murray gives you details, and we come back and discuss it all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.